The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard, it's game day. Going to be at Humphrey Coliseum tonight. It's going to be a raucous crowd. Going to be a big moment for us. Got our black rally towels on our seats, just eagerly awaiting our arrival. Can't wait to be back in the Hump. Should be a big night. We're going to spend some time breaking down the game, looking ahead to what Alabama brings to the table, kind of checking on the SEC standings, things of that nature. But, these are the nights that we have dreamed and worked for. You know, to have an opportunity to get a couple of top 20 opponents in our own gym, in front of our own fans. And I know, without even saying anything, I know that our students are going to show up and show out. Should be a great night for basketball. It's been an eventful few days in SEC men's basketball, and a lot going on. We're going to talk about that. We'll take a brief look back at the terrible loss the women took at Missouri. We'll kind of look ahead and see how that impacts the season. You're not going to be a hot take there. I know many of you, you know, you're kind of off the bandwagon a little bit, but, you know, it's a long season to go. I'd like to thank everybody for their support of the Boneyard. Lo, these many years. I'll tell you something else cool. You know, I'm always receptive, you know, to when things kind of show up mentally. You know, when you start thinking about things, all of a sudden you get this hankering for something. I'll tell you, crazy thing. I had a weird dream last night. It was exhausting. Woke up tired. It's exhausting. I had a dream that we were playing Tennessee in football today and that we had moved the game up to like 8:30 in the morning due to weather. And I wasn't there. And then I hightailed it, and somehow I made it from Starkville to Knoxville in time for postgame and then still missed postgame. And so I got Mississippi State on the brain. It was awful. But nevertheless, we didn't play Tennessee in football today. We're not playing a football game again until August. So let myself breathe a little bit. But you never know where life's going to take you in the dream world, in the age of silent lucidity. But before I went to bed last night, I just felt this need. It's hard to describe. You know, I just felt this urging that I needed to get back home. And I say back home. I need to get back home to Columbia, Miss for a day or two. And I told you guys before, I remember being 15 years of age in Dolores Kagan's keyboarding class. I remember like it was yesterday. I was wearing some maroon and white Avia high top shoes. Some blue jeans, some Levi's 501 blues, and some rock shirt. Maybe it was Motley. Maybe it was Rat. Who knows? But she went around the room and she asked everybody, all the kids, what are you going to do when you finish high school? What do you want to do? What are your dreams? And I said, well, when it got to be my turn, I said, I want to be either a musician or a writer. And all the kids laughed. They all laughed. But the joke was on them because I got to do both. Yeah, how cool is that, man? Got to do both. And so I got to thinking last night, man, there's probably some kid in my high school that is sitting around and got some big dreams and there may be some people laughing. And so I said, you know what? I think I'm going to go back. I want to go back to my high school, walk those same hallways. It's been renovated a lot since then. It's been 35 years, you know, since I've been there. But there's got to be a kid sitting down there that probably needs to have a little inspiration. And I think maybe I can provide that. And so I'm in communication now with the folks at Columbia High School, and we're going to work it out. I'm going to go down there and spend a couple days And I got to go to Ward's while I'm down there and get a big one. No onions. Absolutely no onions. But get that frosted mug root beer. You know, lay my head under mama's roof for a while. And I want to go talk to those kids about writing. I want to talk to them about dreams. I want to talk to them, let them know that it's easier not to be great. And most of the people in adulthood are content to be average. And so if you just put forth the proper effort, you can be really good and possibly great in your life. But one of the most important things in life is to never give up on your dreams. Your dreams may change over time. It's true. Sometimes things get derailed a little bit, and you get a second chance. And so I want to go sow some seeds in the next generation of Mississippi writers. And I don't want anything for it. I just want an audience, and I want to be able to go in there and make a difference and to spread some positivity. At my high school, and I've already heard from some other schools, you know, I put this out there on Facebook. That's what we do these days. I said, hey, I don't know any of the teachers at Columbia High School anymore, but this is what I want to do. And next thing I know, people start reaching out. So we'd love to have you. We even had some people from Columbia Academy reach out. I didn't go to school there, but I'm happy to go. And had a couple of other schools in the Golden Triangle area that have reached out and said, Steve, we'd love for you to come speak to our creative writing students. And I would love to do that. And I think it's important that we as adults, with the proper supervision, have the opportunity to go back to high schools and maybe sow some seeds in the next generation. And so it's important to me. I don't know why. I had this incredible need. Like last night, I was like, I've got to do this. I have to do this. And I did get the chance to go back. Pretty cool. I guess it was on the Villains book tour. And I share this with you guys just because we're friends. I remember when we were doing the Flim Flam book tour. And we were everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And my agent said, hey, we need to do one in your hometown. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Not doing it. Anybody that loves me can drive to Hattiesburg. I mean, that's a little bit narcissistic, right? That people would get off work and drive the 30 minutes just to come see me and get a book, you know. But some people do. But anyway, he goes, no, I'm going to insist you do this. And I went. I didn't want to do it. And I was bitter. And I left Columbia with my tail tucked between my legs. I did. It's true. Life got the better of me. And I admit that. You know, I had a lot of things that I had to correct in my life. And so I left there and really had no plans to go back other than just to go see family. Occasionally, I'd go do a ball game or go to a high school reunion, those kinds of things. But the truth of the matter is, I think part of the reason why I didn't want to go back is I hadn't really accomplished anything. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I wanted to go back as a conquering hero. I didn't want to go back because this is another dude, you know. He says, Steve, you're making too much of it. It's just going home. But when you leave under the circumstances in which I left, I felt like I needed to establish myself for more than just, you know, a 9-to-5 work a day husband and father. I felt like I needed to accomplish something. But I still didn't want to go back. And so we show up at the Flim Flam book signing down there, and there are people waiting outside. And this guy walked up to me that I didn't really know him that well. I just kind of knew him peripherally. And he walks up and he's grinning and he gets all emotional. He goes, Steve, man, we're all so proud of you. It was so incredibly healing for me. And so we went back for the Villains book tour. They had like a whole day planned for me. It was amazing. And so we go to the little, you know, the coffee shop bookstore and we do the book signing there. And then I leave. And I go to my high school, and I had a chance to speak to the creative writing class that I was a part of when I was at Columbia High School. And those kids were scared to death to ask me a question. And I remember it like it was yesterday. It was a kid back there. I could tell when the other kids kind of looked his direction, he kind of bristled a little bit. You could tell that, you know, maybe this guy just didn't feel comfortable in his own skin. And I brought some books that day to give to each of the classes, you know, the person that participated the most or whatever. But every time that I spoke, this young man's eyes were just directly on me. Like I could just, like I needed to be there for him. Like there was something unsettled in his life, and I want to make more of it than it really is, but I gave that kid a book, and I signed it to him, and I wrote, don't ever let him take your dreams from you. And I have no idea what happened to that young man, but I feel like I needed to be there, if for nobody else, but for that kid, because it reminded me so much of myself. And so I encourage you, get involved If you're not well-spoken and public speaking's not your thing, that's okay. You know, that just makes more opportunities for the rest of us. But get involved with your booster club, get involved with your high school in some form or fashion. We always talk about, this generation, so this and so that. What are you doing to help? What are you doing? Are you out there on Saturday mornings helping the baseball coach or the football coach, you know, keep up the field? You know, are you working the concession stand? Are you involved in the booster club or involved in the PTO? Are you involved in those things? You know, it's so easy to sit back and be critical when we don't have any skin in the game. So let me encourage you, get some skin in the game in the lives of America's youth and have good intentions about doing it, because we have some very talented people around this state that have done some amazing things. And I think it's so important to go back and let people know they're capable of those same things. You know, Brett Favre came from Kill, Mississippi. You know, Walter Payton came from Columbia, Jerry Rice from Crawford. I mean, these are not people that were born in metropolitan areas with a ton of privilege. You know, and so I think it's so important that we re-emphasize to young people that we may be small town, but we are not small time. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I love them more than a friend. I think I may be addicted. I love going in there, and it's a good addiction because it's a good value. It's good food. It's a good experience. It's supporting a Starkville business. And I love it. I love it, man. I do. It's one of the reasons that I've been able to maintain this youthful exuberance. And outside of a few gray hairs in my beard, I guess there's a bunch of them now, it's how I've been able to remain so good looking, is those spring rolls. That's the key, man. It's the key to your beauty regimen. It is. You need to adopt that as part of your routine to remain youthful. Get a great restaurant quality hamburger. When you go in there, you'll be glad you did. I think Pimentology had bacon, so the way I'm going to go next time, too. I don't even like pimento cheese sandwiches, but I love the Pimentology. I love it. I love it, and I think you would, too. In addition to that, they have great, great onion rings. I think in addition to that, you can get that chocolate shake to go. If you're not feeling like a burger, you get the BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. It's okay. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Be sure and go by and let them know that you heard about them on the Boneyard. So when you're in town or on the way to town, make a stop at Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's jump into this basketball preview, man. I'm so jacked about this game. I have a lot of belief in this team. And I know that we've stumbled a couple times, but I have not lost sight of what we can be, and I believe what we will be, just because we had a couple games not go our way against some elite teams. Maybe we're not grown up just enough at this point in the season to take down Auburn or Tennessee, or maybe even Kentucky. But the reality of it is we are one of the better teams in the Southeastern Conference, as is Alabama, currently ranked number 4 in the country. And it's so interesting. Like, every year people are like, well, you know, Alabama's either going to contend for the NAFL championship or they're going to fall off this year, right? They'll still be good. They just won't be as good. They're really good. And I don't think this is a roster that a lot of people expected a ton from. And maybe Alabama at 4 is a little bit overvalued, maybe. But guys, they're 17-3, 6-1 in the conference, 9-1 at home, winners of 3 straight. They have been good on the road as well, 5-1 in true road games, 3-1 on neutral floor. So a combined 8-2 away from Tuscaloosa. But let's kind of look and see how they got here. You know, they of course, made the Final Four last year. Yeah, got some pieces back from that team. They get Wake Forest early on. They played them in Birmingham and beat them by 21. They take down Memphis 96-88. There's an opponent in common. They played them in Huntsville, Alabama. How about that? So it's, you know, neutral floor, but I mean, I'm sure that was a partisan crowd. They drill UNC Asheville 110-54. They slip by Arkansas State by 9. Maybe a little tighter than you expect, but sometimes you're going to have nights like that. Same thing with McNeese State. They get them 72-64. Yeah, did you expect that? They go to Purdue and lose 78-87. And so you start thinking, hey, you've had a couple of close calls against kind of some G5 programs. You don't expect the Sun Belt team or a Southland Conference team to give you that kind of trouble, but they did. And then you lose at Purdue, and you're thinking, yeah, this Alabama team's not going to be as advertised. They get number 25, Illinois, in Birmingham at the CM Newton Classic, 100-87. And then they go to Las Vegas, Nevada. Pretty good showing here. The marquee game was the Houston game, which they won by 5 over then number 6, Houston. And then they slipped by Rutgers, 95-90. So a couple of 5-point wins out there in the City of Sin. And then they drop the finale by 2 to an unranked Oregon team, 83-81. And just when you think, you know what, this Alabama team is going to be good, not great, they go to Chapel Hill and they beat North Carolina. And this is not a UNC team of old, but it's still North Carolina. They go to Chapel Hill and they handle those guys pretty good, 94-79. Ease by Creighton by 8. They go to Grand Forks, North Dakota. I'm sure that was a blast in December. And they win by 7 over North Dakota. So, again, it's like, you know, these guys are just playing up and down at their level of competition. Well, they blast Kent State 81-54. They blast South Dakota State 105-82. And then you get into conference play. And at the time, Oklahoma was ranked 12th. And Alabama's like, we're not impressed. They put up 107 against Oklahoma, a top 15 team. Beat them 107-79. Talk about a humbling defeat for the Sooners. Welcome to the SEC, boys. Then you go to South Carolina, a team that we handled mightily in our first meeting with them and slipped by them in overtime in the second one. But they go to Columbia and they beat the Gamecocks by 20. Then you got to go to College Station, Texas. At the time, A&M ranked number 10. They win by 6. And just when you think, you know what, hey, these guys are turning the corner, Ole Miss, who is a good team, not a great team, but a good team, Ole Miss goes into Tuscaloosa and wins by 10. It's a pretty loud win. And you're thinking, okay, well, maybe now the real Alabama's being shown. But no, they go to Lexington, and they take down Kentucky in a barn burner of a game, 102-97. Defense is optional. Vanderbilt then heads to Tuscaloosa. Vanderbilt now ranked for the first time in about a decade. Vanderbilt goes into Tuscaloosa and gets beat 103-87. That win looks better in hindsight. LSU, a team that we don't expect much from this year. You know, it's still LSU, but you know, they're still kind of getting over the sanctions and all that kind of craziness. The transfer outs, the rebuilding the roster. They go to Tuscaloosa, and Alabama wins by 7. And so here we are. 8 p.m. tip tonight. Hope that you can join us. And let's look a little deeper inside the numbers here to kind of, you know, let you know if you haven't watched Alabama much. And I live in the big maroon bubble. So, I do some advanced scouting and football at times. I don't watch a ton of college basketball, to be honest with you. You know, we're busy chasing recruiting right now. But the Alabama averaging 90.4 points per game, allowing right at 78. And you begin to wonder what the margin would be, you know, if they actually took care of business against some of those non-conference opponents. You can tell this team kind of turns it on when they need to. That's not always a great characteristic, though. Outscoring their opponents by about a dozen. 47% from the floor, allowing right at 41%. Beyond the arc, which has kind of been a tenet of the Nate Oates experience, shooting about 32%. And maybe that's down a little bit, you know, from what they have been. But I ran the numbers, I guess it was yesterday. I think they're still like top 10, maybe. I think that's right. But, yeah, I mean, they're making about 10 three-pointers a game. Again, maybe not as prolific as they have been, but it's still, you know, they want to get that isolated shot and knock it down, as we all do. Shooting about 71% from the free throw line. Rebounding has been good, maybe not great, but pulling down about 44 boards a game and out-rebounding their opponents by about 7. In tight ball games, that matters more than ever. Dishing out 17 assists per game, opponents by 11.5. turning it over, that's been an issue. They've turned it over more than their opponents. One of the only opponents that we've covered this year, especially in SEC play, that have turned it over more times than their opponents. 257, so about 13 a game for Alabama. Their opponents just 215, so about 11 a game. So that's a couple of possessions. Again, tight ball games, those things matter. Assist turnover ratio, 1.3.
Not great. The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Great. 11.7 points off turnovers are given up over a dozen. So it's about, you know, six one way, half a dozen the other. And just 130 steals and 147 for their opponent. And so, again, your ball handling and perimeter shooting has really been a big part of the Alabama experience. They don't seem to be quite as prolific in either facet of the game at this point. 100 blocks this year, I guess just 79. It's about five a game for them. And there'll be some Bama folks there. Be ready. There will be. It's an easy drive for them. Okay, Mark Sears leads the team at 18.1 points per game. He has started all 20, and he leads the team in three-point attempts with 135 attempts and also 47 made three-pointers. 83% free throw shooter, and you'd expect that. You know, you'd expect guys that have some experience in the Southeastern Conference. And this is a guy that's a native of Muscle Shoals, Alabama, a second-team AP All-American last year. How often do you see Hargrave Military Academy in Ohio? Yeah, he went from Ohio, from Hargrave to Ohio, and now he's Alabama. So he's kind of the straw that stirs the drink there, for Alabama. But it's farther from a one-man team. Grant Nelson, 12.6 points per game. He started 18 of their 20 games. Doing a good job on the glass, too. 168 rebounds to lead the team. They actually have three rebounders with over 100 boards on the season. And two of those are coming off the bench. I guess one of those come off the bench. Yeah, this is a team with some depth. Aiden Holloway has not started, but has played starter-quality minutes and given them starter-quality scoring, 11.8 points per game. Labari and Phelan, 11.3. Yeah, so they have five scorers that are averaging in double figures. And then, again, you get a little deeper into this, and you look at, Clifford Amorie. I did the best I could. 20 starts for him, but, averaging about 18 minutes. So it's not necessarily starter quality minutes. Grad student transferred in from Rutgers, a native of Nigeria. So, the thing that I look at this team is you're not going to wear them down because they play so many people. Jaron Stevenson's played in 16 games. You look up and down here. They've got a pretty solid rotation. But, by and large, they're playing a lot of people game in and game out. Looking at this right now, there's been seven players that have appeared in every single game. And then there's Darian Reed in 15, Chris Youngblood in 11. And so, it looks like they're a team that can go 7, 8, possibly 9 deep. We'd love to be able to get those guys in some foul trouble. And this is the concern for me is, can we match up in the post? That's going to be the real, real important thing here. Can we match up in the post? Are we going to be able to rebound without everybody having to crash the boards? You want some of that anyway. But against a team like Alabama that plays so well in transition, You got to have somebody to get back and kind of prevent the snowbird. But, we're going to have to bring our best effort. But are we capable of winning this game? Yes, we are capable of winning this game. And granted, it's so difficult to win on the road in the SEC. Let me look up the latest line here on this while we're here, just between us girls. But, All right, let's take a look here. Let's just see what the experts have to say. So Mississippi State, according to Action Sports here, State's favored by 1.5. So, again, we're expecting a very tight game, as many of you guys would expect. And what a great night that would be in Starkville to pull this thing off. And in order for us to win close games, we're going to have to make our free throws. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. Let's look at one more, just to get a variety of opinion here. Let's see here. Yeah. Looks like covers.com's got State favored by 2. So, again, even though Alabama, the higher-rated team, because of the strength of the hump and the Bulldog faithful that'll be out there to be a part of this thing, State is a slight favorite in the game. And I think a lot of it's going to boil down to post-play. I really do. Can we win on the glass? Can we get them maybe in a little foul trouble? I think Keyshawn Murphy's got to be big for us. You know, I think this is one of those games where maybe points in the paint may favor them. So what you get is a bonus. And kind of the concern, too, is, you know, Cam Matthews just hadn't done much the last couple ball games. But how many times have you seen Cam Matthews rise to the occasion in a big ball game, especially one at home? Now, you look at what he did against Kentucky, look at what he did against Ole Miss. You know, last couple ball games, he hadn't done as much. It's true. So we're going to need Cam to have a big ball game tonight. If we get a double-double from Cam, I think we'd feel pretty good about winning this ball game. Last night on Dog Talk, Coach Chris Jans finally brought some clarity to the Kanye Clary situation. He is out for the year. Not a lot of details. It just kind of removes it as a topic of conversation because, you know, week in and week out, people in the media are asking, you know, trying to find out, hey, what's his status? He has been on the bench, and there's been a lot of speculation. And that's what happens when there is a lack of information. There's like a black hole. And so people try to fill that hole with, you know, speculation. It's like, well, you know, I heard this and I heard that. And I heard that, you know, it's not a disciplinary issue or he wouldn't be on the bench. Right? Kanye's still part of the team. And not going to be with us the rest of the way. And I know on earlier I read some guys said that he'll be back March 1st. As if it was some type of suspension. And that's just not the information that we have. And as I share with you guys on the show and on Gene's page, we didn't know. You know, we absolutely didn't know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like we did. There are a lot of revisionist history majors out there that have a BS degree in revisionist history. And we'll let them go out there and articulate and give their own thesis on what they think happened. But it was a pretty tightly kept secret. And there's always. Well, yeah, that's what I've been hearing. Yeah. Well, if that's what you've been hearing, why didn't you report it? You know, those are the things that just kind of, you know, kind of get next to me a little bit. So we didn't report it because we didn't know. And every time that we'd kind of inquired about it, we just said, hey, nope, nobody's talking about this, which kind of only fuels the speculation, right? Because you say, hey, if he's injured, why don't they just come out and say that he's injured? And there's all this HIPAA stuff, but you think, hey, we're doing an SEC availability report. You know, this information is public. It's put out by the league, you know. And so I'm glad that we can now let this topic rest. And now we have to kind of figure out, as we have for some time now, how we're going to navigate this season without him. And again, he was one of those guys that we were all extremely excited about because he could run the point, which would allow Josh to run the two. And which is really what Josh is. And Josh will tell you that, you know, he can play both, and he can. But I think we all agreed that having Clary available as the point guard probably opened up some more things for us offensively in the half court. And so this is where we are. And so now we no longer have to ask this question. And I can't remember the guy's name. But there was a guy on Twitter, and I won't bother to go look it up. And he basically took a shot at all of us in the media. Not just me, not just my staff, but everybody in the Mississippi State media, and basically said we did not have the testicular fortitude to tell the truth. Well, the truth of the matter is we didn't know the truth. And I'll never get that apology, you know, but they basically accused us of kind of covering up for Chris Jans and the basketball team. And I can tell you this, nobody involved with Mississippi State men's basketball or the Mississippi State administration has ever asked us not to ask about Kanye Clary or not to discuss Kanye Clary, not to write about Kanye Clary. Nobody's ever said, hey, here's what's going on, and you guys are sworn to secrecy. That never happened. Life just doesn't work that way. But a lot of people think if there's information that they don't have, that they're not always entitled to, mind you, that there must be some grand conspiracy. I can tell you in this case, there absolutely was not. We found out officially just when you guys did, which was last night during Dog Talk, as Chris Jans spread the bad news with the Mississippi State faithful. And so, again, glad that that's over with. But no, we're not going to sit here and act like we knew all along, because we didn't know. We suspected that he was injured. You know, you heard here early on that he's injured. And then the longer that he's out, you know, people were like, hey, this doesn't make any sense. When's he going to be back? When's he going to be back? And then nobody would ever tell us a return date or even offer speculation about a return date. So that only kind of adds to it. You begin to think, is there more to this story? And I suspect we'll never know if there was. But the reality of it is Kanye will not be with the team the rest of the season. And so now we can kind of move forward and focus on who we have, what's in front of us, and hopefully going out and beating Alabama tonight in Humphrey Coliseum. It is a tough ticket, but if you can get one, we please ask that you come be with us. I know it's a late start. And for those of you that are season ticket holders and maybe you can't make it, let's get those tickets in the hands of Bulldog fans that want to come be a part of this. What could and hopefully will be a special night on the Mississippi State campus. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. That's right, Blair Chandler. Our friend, 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. Folks, let me just tell you this. You're going to need a seasoned mortgage loan officer to help get you to the closing table. A lot of people out there competing for your business, but don't overthink it, okay? It's too important, right? It's one thing to just go buy, you know, like some groceries or, you know, some things, you know, that are inconsequential and maybe pay a little bit more than you normally would to support a friend. But when you're talking about your mortgage, we're talking thousands of dollars. Save some money, get the best deal possible by dealing with Blair. 24 years of experience, get his expertise and know-how working for you. He's a Bulldog through and through, season ticket holder, multiple sports, has a place here in town. But more importantly, he can get you into your first home, your next home, or your retirement home. Check in with him, a guy that knows how to get things done. Nobody stays in any industry 20 plus years by accident. You got to know what you're doing. And again, it's just too important to trust just anybody. Give your business to Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Okay. Shinedown, one of my favorite bands of all time, recently released two singles, and they were just kind of B-sides, kind of floating around out there. New tour coming out, the Dance Kid Dance Tour. I've seen Shinedown, I think, 8 or 9 times. I would encourage you to get out. It's kind of like a religious experience. A lot of positivity in the room. Love those guys. And I thought today, you know, we want to highlight some of the new stuff too, but also just kind of, you know, shine a light on maybe some Shinedown rarities. You know, some songs that maybe you know, maybe you don't. You love Shinedown. I know you do. And it's so interesting too, like, you know, social media can be a real cesspool. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, so many people become experts and critics and things like that. And one of the things that it's so funny, you know, occasionally I get feedback and people say, you know, Steve, I've never written a book, but you could just stop right there, okay? You've never written a book. You don't understand the process. You don't understand how detailed it is. You don't know how much work it is. Like, I would never show up, you know, like it's your job and start giving you feedback. You know, but when you live in the public eye and you put public product out there, you're going to get public praise and criticism, which is how things work. And so you get on social media and like Shinedown will do something and people are like, well, what's these guys who retire? Why are you still following them then? They can retire in your life immediately. You never have to listen to them again. It's completely up to you. It's all within your control, right? But Shinedown has had more number one rock songs than anybody in the history of the world. So you are in the minority opinion. I'm not going to be a music snob about it. Maybe it's not your cup of tea. I don't know how it couldn't be. But if it's not, so be it. There's some bands that you like that I'm sure that I don't care for. You know, it's like you Nirvana cultists drive me crazy. I think that's the only reason I really have a Facebook, other than to distribute content, but to troll Nirvana fans online. It's true. And you Green Day people, give me a break. Come on. Get over it. Get over it. What did the last album sell? 5,000 copies? Something like that? Ridiculous. Stop. 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 All right, so let's talk about some Shinedown rarities and deep cuts today. We're going to start with probably one of my favorite tracks on the Planet Zero album. I don't know that this song has gotten its just due. You know, maybe it's just me. But my first listen through that album, this is the song that first kind of grabbed me. And it's a track called America's Burning. And it's got an interesting bass track to it. It's, you know, a little more processed sound, but I really dig it. I think it's got a good message, too. Now, number nine, this is actually one of my favorite Shinedown songs. Steve, why is it number nine? It's because this list is stacked. And plus, I wanted to kind of put the top five to be songs maybe you're not quite as familiar with. But off the Threat to Survival album, which I think is probably the best album maybe since The Sound of Madness. Maybe. I love it, man. And like when all the Hugh Freeze stuff was going on and all the Ole Miss stuff was going on, that song was kind of the soundtrack for me back in 2015. And it's a song that I have shared with many people. True. I've shared this with many people because of the message. And it's such an uplifting song to me. And it's very aggressive. It's up-tempo. It's a rock song. It's not a ballad. It's a track called Dangerous. Because I would rather be dangerous. That's what the song is about. Like when you think about your own life, you know, there is something my dad asked me years ago. I think I've shared it with you guys before. The night of my high school graduation, my dad said, would you rather be feared or respected? I said, rather be respected. He goes, well, son, choose your way carefully because fear commands a respect all its own. When you work in my line of work, you have to be a little bit, maybe reckless is the wrong term, but people have to understand that you're going to be relentless. And it's better for them, maybe, if they communicate with you, because sometimes you may uncover some things that they don't want uncovered. All right, number eight is the title track from Shinedown's fourth album. And this is an album I think, in some respects, may have cost them some fans. And what I mean by that is because, you know, after The Sound of Madness came out, people were like, hey, they'll just build upon this. And then I think they just kind of went in a different direction with Amaryllis. I actually have an Amaryllis tattoo that I got out in Hollywood on my birthday several years ago. But I love the track. And again, it's a deeper cut. I mean, Amaryllis album, of course, has some songs you know. You know, it's got Adrenaline and Bully and Unity and Enemies and I'll Follow You. I'll Follow You is probably the signature song off that album. But I love the 12-string guitar on this one. Amaryllis, a great, great track. And there's some great lyrics in this one, too. And do I remind you of someone you've never met? A lonely silhouette. It's very poetic in that respect. Number seven, one of my favorite Shinedown songs of all time. And I don't know that this one gets enough notoriety. I sing this one sometimes. True story. And it's off the Us and Them album, which I absolutely love. I love Leave a Whisper, but Us and Them, of the early albums, might have been like, it's the first Shinedown album that I bought because Save Me was out. I guess I bought them both the same day. I bought album number one and then album number two, I think the same day. But nevertheless, it's a song called Shed Some Light. And there have been so many times in my life, that's how I felt. I just needed, like we talked about the other day, I just needed a little lightning. right? I just needed a little something, a little direction. I mean, even in long-term sobriety, sometimes you have those days where you feel like you're just falling apart at the seams. It happens to all of us. Your pain is not unique, but Shed Some Light is kind of a sad song about being in that spot where you're not sure which direction to take. Number six, speaking of Leave a Whisper, when Shinedown hit the scene, they kind of broke it wide open. You know, a lot of people know Shinedown from 45. That's probably the gateway song for many people. And, of course, they covered Simple Man because Jason Todd was in the band who was married to Melody Van Zandt. The Van Zandt family does not grant permission to many people to use their music. And they did as a favor. But probably my favorite deep cut on this album is the number nine track, Stranger Inside. And to be honest with you, I think, honestly, if Shinedown would have continued with that direction in music, they may not have as many number ones, but I think they would have a lot more credibility with the hard rock community. And this is one of the biggest bangers in the catalog. I absolutely love this one. I love the vocal on this one. And, of course, this is before Brett got in recovery. And that's what happens with rock stars, right? Those first couple of albums are them just kind of bleeding out their pain to us, and it's so relatable. And then they begin to get some money and get therapy and begin to heal, and life is a little bit easier, and the music begins to mellow a little bit. But I love this one. Okay, the top five are all going to be songs you're not quite as familiar with. There's probably one song you are. Number five was one that was released right around the middle of all the COVID stuff. And it's a track that was released as an individual standalone track. And it's called Atlas Falls. Like, what do we do when Atlas falls? You know, I'll help carry you the rest of the way. We were all kind of relying on each other. And so the song was kind of apropos. It was a throwaway track, I think, from the Amaryllis album. I think that's correct. It's kind of laying around somewhere, and they released it at the perfect time. And they used it to help raise money for people who needed it. Number four, from the Avengers soundtrack. And this is one that not a lot of people know, but it's never appeared on a Shinedown album. It's never been, mass marketed, because it was just one of these tracks that appeared on a motion picture soundtrack. It's not the big deal it used to be, but it's a track called I'm Alive. I think you really dig this one. Honestly, Ani turned me on to this one. You know, when in the height of my Shinedown fandom, I had kind of missed this. And one day he put it on. I'm like, hey, that's Shinedown. What is that? Is that something new? He goes, that's not that. It's on the Avengers soundtrack. You know, I guess that's what I get for not going to see those movies. Number three, one of my favorites, and it was a bonus track on the Sound of Madness expanded edition. I have both versions of this album. I went out, I bought there's the white copy with the black crows on it, and there's the black copy with, you know, the white birds on it. I bought them both. I initially bought the expanded edition the first day of release, and then I went back later because I'm a nerd, and because I just couldn't stand the fact that I didn't have them all, so I bought that one too. And it really about the only physical copies I buy of CDs these days are my favorite bands. I don't just go run out and buy everything. It's so easy just to download music on your phone. But I like having physical copies because I like supporting the bands that I love. And so I wanted both versions. And I also have a box version of Leave a Whisper. I have the one that we bought in the store, and then I ordered one. It's like a limited edition. I'm a nerd, man. I mean, I'm a music nerd. But a song, I actually had a chance to ask Zach Myers about this. I love this track. Why did it not make the Sound of Madness? It's a track called Junkies for Fame. And it's a banger, man. And Zach said, you know, it just didn't fit the rest of the album. You know, he said, we already feel like we had enough of those up-tempo banger-type songs, and that was just one that didn't make it. The record company just decided, you know what, let's release this as part of the expanded edition. And it's one of those songs, too. It kind of highlights the dangers of social media in some respect. You know, it's one of these songs, too, that really gets my motor going, right? It's not necessarily about addiction or about chemical dependency, but it's about how it's burned in our brains every day. We got to go out here and overexpose ourselves, and everybody's living for likes and clicks and We're all junkies for fame. Number two, and if you guys remember The Expendables, the Sylvester Stallone movie, how this came to be is Sylvester Stallone was putting the movie together, the final, you know, production type stuff, and he went to his daughters and said, hey, who's the best rock band out right now? And both of his daughters said Shinedown. So he went to Shinedown and said, hey, I want you guys to write a track for this movie. And if my girls don't like it, we're not going to use it. And that became Diamond Eyes. You know, the song Boom Lay, Boom Lay, Boom. It absolutely rocks. It sounds great in the car, right? They've made such advancements with car audio these days. Even your stock system will deliver a quality sound. This is one that absolutely rocks. Which brings us to number one. And these are not necessarily in my order of favorites. I just kind of put them down with random. But number one is the brand new single that is sure to go number one. It's called 365. You know, a lot could happen in a year. And it's been so interesting to see how this song has been received by the Shinedown family, which I consider myself a part of. I have three Shinedown tattoos. And been with those guys since the beginning, man. Absolutely love them. But this song is a little more mellow. It'll be a top 40 hit because it's it fits the format a little bit better. But people have talked about, you know, they equate it to a relationship, or they equate it to losing, you know, someone, you know, to death. You know, it talks about, you know, I said all the things that mattered most, but I just couldn't keep you here. You know, we've all been there. And I remember when my grandfather died, my great-grandfather, A.J. Barber. He ran the Ford dealership's maintenance department for years, and he was a minister on the side. And he died on August 13th, 1982. I remember it just like it was yesterday. I remember when we got the phone call. I can still see the look on my mom's face. And I remember when it happened, I was so young. I was just 10 years old. And it was the first time I had lost somebody in my life. And I remember when she told me that he was gone. And he had been sick for a while. And I said I didn't want him to die. I just didn't want it, you know. And you learn pretty early in life as a child, at least in my generation you did. You don't always get what you want. And life has a way of changing. There are different phases in life. And that was one of those things that just kind of rocked my innocence, you know, because I had prayed so diligently for his recovery. And I just could not imagine a life without him. And so this song kind of takes me back a little bit to that, and kind of the naivety of youth, where you think, you know, people are going to live forever. You know, that your grandparents are superheroes. And my grandpa Barber was a man's man in every aspect. You know, he was one of those kinds of people, man, that even though he had a soft spirit, you just didn't mess with him. You know, people just knew because he had this presence about him. And it's so interesting, too, that my grandfather actually got a houndstooth hat from Bear Bryant. How about that? How cool is that? You know, we don't have it anymore because after my grandfather died, it was, you know, a lot of people would stop by and pay their respects to my grandmother. And one of my grandfather's dearest friends was a huge Alabama fan. And she gave that houndstooth hat that Bear Bryant had given to my grandfather to him. And he used to wear that hat. He really wasn't a college football fan or anything like that. I mean, all he did was you know, work on cars, raise his family, and preach the gospel. But he was moved by that because my grandfather had preached at a service. I'm not sure if it was a team devotional. There may be something to that. You know, it's a long time ago. But anyway, Bear Bryant got to hear my grandfather preach, and wasn't long after that they had sent my grandfather the hat. Pretty cool. Pretty cool story. Yeah. So that's what that song is kind of taking me back to. You know, and it makes me think about all the people in my lives that have come and gone. They're tourists in our lives. And you learn to accept that. You know, I wrote about friends yesterday on the randoms on Facebook, you know, about, you know, I got some friends that if I didn't text or call them first, I'd never hear from them, you know. So you have some people that are tourists in your life. But when you lose an anchor in your life, you know, whether it be a parent or a grandparent, you know, I lived with my grandparents till I was 8 years old. And my great-grandparents basically took care of us throughout the day sometimes. And so I was very close to my great-grandfather. And people occasionally will send me pictures,
you know, when he was the pastor at Tula Rosa Church there in Ellisville, Mississippi, which is where my parents met. How about that? You didn't expect to get all that today, but that's the beauty of music, man. It is the greatest time machine in the world, and I use it a lot to write. And what I mean by that is not just when I'm writing about sports, but like when I want to write about something, you know, emotional, I like to put on songs that fit the mood and then allow that to kind of pull the creative juices out of me. And there are always these songs that take you places you hadn't been in a while. And I think the song 365 from Shinedown may do that for you. So give it a listen if you haven't. We thank you so much for your support of the Top 10 list. Thanks as always to Close with Blair and to Roy Samanthi to put our list together. And you can find our great list on Spotify under the handle Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. Roy kind of batches them up these days, but we do get them out for you. And give him a follow on Twitter. And you can find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. Our next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart, don't we, kids? And why do we love them? Because we can get the things that our heart desires at Campus Bookmart. Everybody needs more Mississippi State merch, whether it be apparel, gift ideas, decorative items. You can outfit your RV, your pet, your office, whatever you need, your fan cave, at Campus Bookmart. You need that stuff. You don't just want it, you need it, right? It's just part of existing and enjoying life, being able to celebrate your fandom. Nobody does a better job of affording you those opportunities than Campus Bookmart. Visit them next time you come in town. You'll be glad that you did. You can see their smiling faces. You may even get a complimentary hug, or maybe that's just me. But if you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And use promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Okay. I did not want to lead with a negative. And not to mention, we have a huge, huge men's basketball game tonight. And I cannot wait to be there. But, the ladies stubbed their toe over the weekend in a game they absolutely should have won. Of course, we didn't have Destiny McFall. But it shouldn't have boiled down to that. We absolutely should not have been in that position. We really struggled to get stops. And these are the kind of losses that linger. You know what I mean? And I don't care how good a culture you have. I don't care how good a coaching you have. I don't care how well equipped you are to deal with adversity. When you go and lose to a team that was 11-10 and winless in the SEC, you lose that game, you let that one slip away, it creates a little doubt. Now, it's one of those things, too. I've coached many sports for many years, and I can tell you, no matter what speech you give up and give, there's always a little bit of that, well, maybe we're not as good as we thought. And I don't care. I don't care if Nick Saban does it. When you lose a game like this, of course, Alabama didn't lose games like this, there is that part of you that thinks, you know what? Yeah, maybe without Destiny, we can't win. And then the next time she's out, all of a sudden it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, State, from the beginning, you read on social media, it's like, oh, we let that one get away. Guys, we were down the first period. It appeared that we were not ready to play. Now, granted, everybody plays tougher in their home gym for their own fans, and there wasn't a bunch of them there. But we're down two after one. And so you think, okay, well, maybe, you know, we'll settle in. And we did a little bit. We, we took a 23-19 advantage there in the second period. And we had the lead at the break by two. And then you kind of start thinking, okay, we'll wear them down. But the problem is, when you have a team like Missouri, who has not had anything to really feel good about the entire year, all of a sudden, they start believing a little bit. It's like, hey, this is our night. I mean, hey, we're able to do pretty much what we want to on the offensive end. I know we can score with them. Can we get enough stops to make a difference? Next thing you know, the third period ends, and Mizzou gets a one-point advantage. And so you go to the fourth quarter here, and it's like, hey, guys, pardon the expression, you know, but it's not cutting time. Right? We got to get this thing done. We had our most anemic offensive quarter of the game in the fourth when the game was on the line. I could understand a little bit, you know, if we're just both teams are completely gassed, and nobody's getting back, and, you know, both teams give up 25, 30 points in a quarter. I could understand that. Guys, we held them to 18. We scored 16 points in the quarter and basically had diminishing returns each period after the second. And what do you know, we lose 78-77 on basically a buzzer beater. And it's like, well, you know, we got to defend that play better. We should not have been in that situation, period. And granted, you are, so you got to make a play. But you get a career night from Ja'Kayla Jordan, 40 points. And she played 38 minutes. And, you know, listen, you got to ride the hot hand. And I can tell you, it's so difficult to manage these situations. When you got somebody that gets red hot, you don't want to sit them. You know, but there's a part of you that thinks, maybe I need to give them a blow here. You know, it's such a difficult decision. And I know many of you were like, man, she was just on fumes there at the end, and she was. But you know what? When she can't miss, you got to let the big dog eat. And we missed some free throws down the stretch. It really hurt us. And I think, again, that's in your legs. That's fatigue. But 13 of 21 from the floor, 5 of 9 from beyond the arc, 9 of 17. And you know Ja'Kay was a better free throw shooter than that. Pulled down 8 rebounds. She did her best to get Mississippi State to a victory. It didn't work out, though. Denham to Shields, a dozen points. Medina Okot with 10. We knew we felt like she had to have a big game for us. She double-doubled for us. Anaya Russell, just 7 points. DeBrescia Poe, just 2. I don't know what's happening with her, but something's just not clicking right now. 0 of 3 from beyond the arc, 1 of 4 from the field. Just pulled down a couple rebounds. Played 31 minutes, 2 rebounds, 2 points. A personal foul, which tells me maybe we're not playing aggressively enough on defense. Maybe. Chandler Prater with 6, and outside of that, nothing. I mean, you go through this, and again, there's not a lot of room to run around here, but 6 bench points. In a one-point game like this, that's not going to get it done. It's not. And again, we talked about that anemic fourth quarter. State 6 of 15 from the floor. Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, when you are in the middle of all this, you got to expect some criticism. Grace Slaughter with 31 points to lead Missouri would have led all scorers had it not been for the career night from Ja'Kayla. But these are the kinds of losses that linger for so many reasons. It's not just that you lost, it's who you lost to, and it's how you lost, right? And we'll just go back here and kind of recap the last couple minutes of this game. Not wasn't a ton of scoring down the stretch, but State makes 2 free throws. It is a 4-point game in State's favor with a minute 38 to go. You've got to close this thing out. 2 possession lead with a 1:38 to go. You know they're going to foul, right? You got to close it out. I mean, how many times have you seen this thing play out before on the men's and the women's side? The team that's got a 2-bucket advantage with just over a minute to play typically wins the game. They make a 3-pointer. You know, perimeter defense, not great. Now, all of a sudden, it's down to a 1-possession game. And with a minute to go, Medina Okot misses basically a bunny, a point-blank shot right there. Could have been the difference in the ball game. I mean, you never say it boils down to one shot, but it's magnified because we're in the final minute, and now all of a sudden you give them the ball back. However, we get a stop on the other end. Grace Slaughter, again, big night for her. She misses, and Anaya Russell pulls it down. So here we go. 33 seconds, State with a 1-point advantage. We call timeout with 23 seconds to go in the game. Everybody makes a few substitutions. You have a chance to, you know, get a little Gatorade or whatever. And then, Lanaya Randall steals it from Ja'Kayla with 8 seconds to go and then makes a jumper at the buzzer. And you lose. And, there's no defending it. And, you know, everybody's going to have a good day and everybody's going to have a bad day. But, you know, when you have that great of an offensive performance, you got to find a way to get it done. And this, people may misconstrue this, but my policy on this is consistent. In the final 2 minutes, it's about coaching. Win, lose, draw. A team gets you to 2 minutes. It's up to the coaches to get them home. Now, people still got to execute. Don't get me wrong. I'm not letting people off the hook. But the substitutions you make, the offensive sets you run, the defenses you play, all that's determined by the coaches. You're not just letting the clock run, letting it play out. You've got to manage. In fact, outside of the first 2 minutes, the most important 2 minutes are the last 2 minutes. You want to get off to a good start, right? You want to get out there and be able to attack and set the tone. But in the end, once you get your team ready to go, you're just kind of adjusting on the fly, right? But the final 2 minutes, that's when coaches have to exert their influence. And that was one thing that we said, you know, the Ben Howland era, it was an epidemic, baby. The last 4 minutes of a game, no lead was safe when Ben Howland was coaching. None. And that hurt some people's feelings. Let me look around and see if I can't find some sympathy for you. Hang on. No, none here. None. And so if those standards apply to Ben, they apply to everybody else. You know, I mean, you look at that, how things played out at South Carolina on the men's side. Chris Jones is a hard-nosed coach. Chris Jans, pardon me. And ultimately, we didn't close out regulation the way we should. We had that stupid turnover that led to the tying basket. But down the stretch, Jans kind of willed that team to a victory. And again, players have to execute. But you know, players are looking to the coach to see how to act. And in these final 2 minutes, as a coach, win, lose, or draw, it is on the coach. Period. I know you don't like to hear that, but that's the reality of it. And there are going to be games that we get out-coached in every sport. And there are going to be games that we coach it as well if we possibly could, and we have a player that doesn't execute. It kind of goes hand in hand, but ultimately it all boils down to the coach. And so we got to find a way to rebound. And we talk. That's what's so frustrating is we had navigated through this very difficult stretch, and we thought, you know what, hey, now we've got a chance to really make a run here up into the second half to finish in the top half of this league. And you beat Auburn like a drum. And when you play that well, you hope there's some carryover. And maybe we just weren't ready to play. Well, our reward is we'll have a chance to kind of sit and sulk a little bit. And I'm not saying they will. Before we go to LSU, who just lost to South Carolina. So we'll be at LSU on Sunday. We encourage you to get out and go attend if you can. And then Arkansas, one of the worst teams in the league, will be in Humphrey Coliseum on February the 6th. But, that's a golden opportunity squandered. And it's one of those things the committee's going to look at, because it's not like, you know, we don't expect Missouri to get hot down the stretch and kind of carry this thing and help us in the net. That's going to be an anchor to the net the rest of the year. You see, rest assured with that. But, we got to figure it out. Simple as that. We've got to figure it out. We're going to have to upset somebody to offset the net change. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle if you're bringing a large group here. And you know what? Even if you just want to say they're solitary, that's cool too, right? But it's so cool to have everybody under one roof, to be able to just kind of recreate, eat, fellowship together. And there have been so many times in your life when you say, man, we need to get together more often, and then you never do. Be the linchpin in your friend or family group and book a trip. Go ahead and start checking availability and start calling around and say, hey, we're doing this. What weekend works best for you? Is it this weekend or that weekend? Don't give them an option. Just get things done, right? You get that full-service kitchen, very expensive, right? The living area, fabulous. 6 bedrooms, 2, soon to be 3 baths, that great back porch area, the wet bar, the fire pit area, and it's just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do your tailgating there. Instead of having to lug all that stuff to campus, you can just do it right then and there. You know, it'd be great. And so whether it's a ball game weekend or a midweek trip or perhaps just a chance to get together, maybe it's a work retreat, maybe you've considered that. Instead of going out and getting 5 or 6 hotel rooms, everybody just stay together. Yeah, just great. We've stayed there. We've had some friends that have stayed there. I can tell you, you're not going to find a better place to stay. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page will come up, and you can look through all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest, but also some booking options pop up too. VRBO, Airbnb. But if you want to save some money, I can help you book through the Evolve website. And you use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, the number 10. And get 10% off your stay. How cool is that? Saving some money just by listening to the best Mississippi State podcast in the history of Al Gore's internet. Right here. Start Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Okay. We are, 15 days away from college baseball? I kind of broke down the schedule this week. We did the non-conference schedule. And then yesterday I kind of broke down the SEC schedule. And again, what's so amazing to me about the schedule, it's like so many years in the SEC, it's like we have to kind of start out, right? Like last year, we get the defending national champions. Well, we get them at home, and then we take the series, and it's the third time in four seasons we've taken a series against LSU. Oh, yeah, did you realize that? Yeah, we won down there in 21, should have swept. We lose in 22. In 23, even though it was their NAFL championship year, we go down there, throw off against Skeens, and end up taking a wild one on Sunday to clinch the series. Cade Smith was absolutely outstanding on Saturday. You win that one, and then last year they come up here, you know, all full of piss and vinegar and all fired up, expecting to repeat despite the losses they had. And I still think that the preseason accolades last year were unfair to that team, considering what they lost on the mound. And we won the series. And guys, that may be the most difficult road series we have this year. Going back down to LSU, a place that's a rivalry. And I think for old school Bulldog fans, you kind of see it as such. You know, I remember interviewing Mike Kelly years ago in the 70s and early 80s. It was more about Auburn. You know, the team you wanted to beat was Auburn. And a lot of that's because Ole Miss just wasn't good in baseball. You know, this whole Ole Miss-Mississippi State baseball rivalry, I mean, you always want to beat them. It doesn't matter if it's Chinese checkers or Monopoly. But Ole Miss is new money for the most part. They had some good years in the early 70s, you know, with Swayze as the coach. But by and large, Ole Miss has kind of come to prominence under Mike Bianco. But the LSU rivalry has always been a great measuring stick for Mississippi State baseball. It just has been. You know, it's the one series we feel like will validate us because of those great years in the 80s between Burtman and Polk. It was huge. And so when you begin to kind of break down this schedule and you think, okay, you got to go down there, but we go in March. Now, I don't know if you guys know a lot about Baton Rouge. I do. I lived there for 16 years and loved the city. It all changed a lot after Katrina. You have to forgive me. I decided to flee and bring my family to a safer place. Plus, I've always wanted to be in Starkville. But I love to play LSU early. Number one, before they figure things out. But also, too, the wind patterns in February and March are different. You tend to get more of an overcast, windy day where the wind is blowing in. You know, and it's still a little bit premature to start predicting those wind patterns. But typically, as the weather warms up, the wind begins to grow out and blow out. So that's huge for us. But when you begin to think about, again, we don't get the defending NAFL champion Tennessee Volunteers this year. And they certainly have been a fly in the ointment as of late. Tony Botello doing a good job up there. I still remember going up there, and we should have swept that series, and home plate umpire gave a game to Tennessee, and you'll never convince me otherwise. There's a lot of people that are fortunate that your buddy Rose Bowl is not in charge of a lot of stuff, because how many times do you see it? You know, they just tell you to throw a baseball out, and we do. Peyton Plumlee throws it out, and they allow two runs to score, which cost us the game and the sweep. And even though we won 2 of 3, you kind of leave there feeling a little bit unfulfilled. It's terrible. Also, nearly came to blows with Frank and Tony. But, you know, again, this Texas thing is big. I think this Texas team is going to be good. I think by the end of the year, they may be really good. But they have to rebuild the infield. And listen, a lot of us in the SEC are kind of in the same boat when it comes to this. A lot of departures last year. Texas ranked just behind Mississippi State in the polls at 19. But I think a lot of that is just kind of the respect that goes along with Jim Schlossnagel. You know, I think that's probably a fair assessment. But again, I'm glad we get Texas early and we get them at home. Now, this is going to be a new look Texas team. Going to be a lot of new faces. You know, they returned the Big 12 Player of the Year, the returner starting shortstop. But outside of that, a lot of new pieces. And this is where you guys make the difference. It's the first time Texas has played a baseball game in Starkville since 1922. So we need you to turn out. I know you will. Make it a raucous environment. The Longhorns, even though we've only played 13 times, kind of feel like a rival because every time we've played them, there's been something of significance. And you go back and think about 2021. We beat them out there in Arlington, and it was kind of Landon Sims' coming out party, right? And you thought, hey, this beating Texas, that's big. And Texas proved to be a great team that year. We ultimately played them three times in Omaha and beat them twice. Beat them to win the bracket and advance the championship series against Vanderbilt because, you know, we actually played our games. But this is big. And again, where they fall in the schedule I think is good for us because I think they're going to be an RPI climber as we get a little deeper into it. I think Texas finishes in the top half of the league. And so if we can find a way to win that series, it really kind of sets up well for us. And then we go to Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma, 2 years removed from playing for a national championship. I know many of you have tuned it out, but remember Ole Miss beat Oklahoma, and Oklahoma didn't have a great offense in 2022. They did last year, pretty good offense last year. They win the regular season Big 12 championship last year, but they had so many pieces from that team. I think Oklahoma, again, may be a team that gets better over the course of the year. But, man, you lose Spikerman. You lose so many of these guys that have been institutions at Oklahoma. I think this is a chance for us to get an early road series win, and those are so incredibly important when you begin to think about the totality of your schedule, when you are having your resume reviewed by the NCAA Division I Baseball Committee. The selection committee picks these things. I think you slip in there, you win that series, and then later in the year, I think Oklahoma adds value to that series win. And so I think there's a good chance that State welcomes Texas to the SEC with a series win. You never forecast a sweep in SEC. You just don't. I mean, sometimes you need one, but you don't forecast that because you never know when you're going to run into a hot pitcher. But Oklahoma, rebuilt rotation, rebuilt bullpen, rebuilt lineup. I think this is a chance for State to go in there and get one. The trip to LSU, you never know, you know, and we just kind of talked a little bit about that. You know, this is an LSU team on paper that looks really good. The thing that I hear talking to my pro scout friends is that LSU may have the best 1-2 combination in the conference on the weekend. Chase Shores is a guy, highly recruited guy. A lot of people didn't think he'd go to college. He goes to LSU, and what do you know, Tommy John surgery. He misses all of last year. And I think that's also kind of a factor for us. Even though it is late March, it's still going to be kind of cold and windy down there. And for a guy that's coming back from Tommy John, it may not be the most opportune opportunity. You know, a guy, we always talk about our own guys, right? We never talk about everybody else's. It's like, well, you know, those guys coming back from Tommy John, I hope they can throw strikes. Well, it's the same thing for those guys. And again, Chase Shores is legit. That guy's probably a future first rounder. And so that's one thing to consider. Do we have the pitching to match up? I think because that LSU offense is kind of built and predicated on the big fly, that you have an opportunity to go in there and steal one. But I will never forecast an LSU, a series win over LSU until we get there and have a chance to see what they look like. I mean, there's going to be, you know, basically 6 weeks of baseball played. And the LSU schedule, non-conference schedule, is not very challenging. So I don't know how much we'll know about that team. But kind of 2 weeks into this thing, I think we'll have a pretty good idea of what Shores looks like and, you know, how the portal has treated them. You know, that's, you know, they get some pieces back. And that's one of the things that I'll say about, you know, LSU is they do a really good job player retention. But there's no Tommy White, right? There's no guy in there that's just, you know, that monster in lineup you've got to avoid. And I think that that's a big part of things. But you're kind of looking ahead here, you know, just again, I think, you know, again, you know, Texas, a team that got beaten in a regional last year, Oklahoma, a team that got flushed out of their own regional, LSU didn't win a regional. And then you get into South Carolina, a team that got really hot in Hoover, didn't advance. They got to come up here first year with Paul Maneri. You got to go to Alabama, a team that got, you know, luckily got into a regional, didn't get out of it. And then there's Florida, a team that was the last team in the NCAA tournament. They end up going to Omaha. Yeah, that's significant too. And so O'Sullivan's guys are always going to pitch it pretty well. They had a bit of a down year last year. But, you know, we'll see how things go. I'm eager to kind of see what this team looks like the first month of SEC play. Ole Miss, of course, will play them at Trustmark, our only game in Trustmark this year. And then we'll go to Auburn. And Auburn, I think, is intriguing because they have so many offensive pieces back. I think that's one of the most significant things with them. Ike Irish is a dude. We've known about that for a while. McMurray is a guy that killed us 2 years ago. You know, he had two home runs in a game and that big comeback on Sunday that cost us the series. But give them some credit. We got to go back over to Plainsman Park at Hitchcock Field. It's a great park. It's not finished, but I do enjoy going over to Auburn. It's not a bad drive, but also too the people there are usually pretty good. Kentucky comes in, and that's going to be significant because of the fact that's going to be Super Bulldog weekend, and our spring game is going to be held April the 19th on the Florida baseball weekend. So we're splitting the spring game and Super Bulldog weekend, right? You probably weren't expecting that. So spring game, April 19th. That's the same weekend as Florida baseball and the Cotton District Arts Festival. And then Super Bulldog weekend and the Starkville Derby, as you guys are well aware, will be Kentucky baseball weekend. We'll have softball, tennis, and track events there that weekend too. So again, splitting it up, and I think number one, that gives you the opportunity to maybe have a little more flexibility. So it's a little different deal. So that's to be understood. So the Kentucky weekend, the first weekend in May, will be officially Super Bulldog weekend, but the Maroon and White game will be April the 19th. We get Ole Miss and Starkville May 9th through 11th, and I think this is the end of the Mike Bianco era, and I think when you look at what they did in the portal and what they didn't do in the portal, it could be interesting. That said, Ole Miss may have the most pieces returning in their starting nine in the West from last year. You lose a couple of guys, obviously, but they got some guys back. And so you got to wonder, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I guess we'll all find out together. And, of course, we close out at Missouri. And they have been kind of the bane of the Bulldog existence at times. You know, last year, if you sweep them, it certainly helps your hosting resume. And I remember how bad that felt when we didn't sweep them and we knew they were the worst team in a conference, not named Auburn. So that's something to be understood. But a more detailed breakdown is available over Gene's page. And it's free, and you can go by and check it out. I think what's interesting, too, got some numbers earlier today that I think it threw the 27th. We'd written like 290 stories, and half of them are free. So we put about half of it behind the paywall, and then all of our team coverage is free. We'd make a case of some recruiting stuff free, too, a few features free. But it's about a 50-50 split, and that's kind of what we want. You know, we don't want everything to be behind the paywall, but we got to make a living. We got to sell subscriptions, and we're going to probably end up around 320 stories for the month of January, which will be one of the most prolific months in our history, and that's, of course, since the merger. I remember back in the old Gene's Page days, we'd have, you know, two or three stories a day and call it a busy day. You know, now we're doing about 10 to 12 every single day. Nobody is providing you more Mississippi State content than we are over at Gene's Page. And you can jump aboard right now at 30% off the annual subscription rate. And I encourage you to come be a part of that. But I want to spend a little time talking about this Super Bulldog weekend setup thing. It's just going to be completely different, right? Because a lot of times you think about we have the carryover crowd from football that will walk over to baseball. And how many times have we set attendance records for baseball because we had Super Bulldog weekend? And so Zach Selman kind of doing some different things. And I think some of this has to do kind of with Easter, right? I think that's a factor in all of this. You know, I don't know how you guys, feel, you know, about Easter weekend. But, it's April 20th. you know. And so now you've got, you know, the Myrna White game there, but you don't have the full Super Bulldog weekend thing there. And so you can come Myrna White game, and then you can get home and enjoy Grandma's house for Easter. And so that's just something to consider. And I know in the past we have thought about those kind of things. A lot of you guys don't want to do the big Super Bulldog weekend thing on Easter. But I do commend the administration for kind of reaching out and kind of seeing what the fans wanted to do. But let me tell you, I'm supportive of this. And Super Bulldog weekend, I'm going to be honest with you, Super Bulldog weekend the last couple of years maybe hasn't been as well attended as I would hope. And so I think maybe changing things up a little bit is a good thing. I am a Mississippi State guy. I want what's best for Mississippi State. As long as Zach Selman is our director of athletics, I'm going to support Zach Selman. I mean, I'm always going to agree with him, but I agree with him here. And I think this is probably something, let's try it, see how it goes. And also, too, you start thinking about, you know, what does this mean for Oktibbeha County taxes? You know, what does this mean for, you know, is it another big weekend? You already got baseball, right? You already have baseball, right? So you got big crowds coming, but, you know, does this, you know, kind of coax some other people to town? Does it get people on campus a little more often? I think it's a good thing, and I hope that you'll agree. But, again, I'm always open to something. I'm not a guy that's real big on change, but I'll tell you, when it's something like this, when I feel like we need to shake it up a little bit and maybe kind of give a fresh approach to Super Bulldog weekend, and I know there's going to be some people that are going to be critical. There's people like, I don't understand. You know, the centerpiece of Super Bulldog weekend has always been a Maroon and White game. I think when you think about what Jeff Lebby's got in front of him, right, I think you got to let Jeff Lebby set his own practice schedule, right? Let Jeff handle that. They know what's best for them. You start getting involved here and say, hey, man, we want to do the spring game on this day. I think you've got to kind of understand everybody's needs. Not just to ours, but everybody's needs. And it's interesting, like, there's so many people that I have seen be incredibly vocal about the date of Super Bulldog weekend over the years, and then they don't attend Super Bulldog weekend. You know, so why is that opinion valid, right? It's like, well, we just always do so much stupid stuff. Hey, did you go to Super Bulldog weekend last year? No. Are you going this year? No. Okay. End of discussion, right? I live here. I love it here. I love it when you guys come and you're a part of everything here. I love when you get a chance to come celebrate your fandom on campus, bring your kids around, maybe show them where you lived, walk the campuses and say, hey, this is the residence hall that I lived in. This is the, you know, this is where I went to class. This is where we went to Perry Cafeteria. You know, to be able to kind of walk that and kind of ingrain upon them, you know, kind of what Mississippi State means to you more so than just a sports team, I think it's important. I do. And I love it when you guys come to town. And I don't mind the traffic. I know some other people in town are like, oh, it's ball game weekend. Yeah, well, that's why God made 182, and hopefully that'll all be finished here soon. But, yeah, I mean, you can jump on the bypass, too. It's one of the things I encourage people to do. And when the kids first get here, you're going to be living there off campus. Jump on 82 and drive around the city and come down 25 and go to the big Walmart instead of getting in the right-hand lane and stacking everything up. You know, it seems like all the best fast food restaurants are on the right-hand side. I wish we had more closer to Walmart, but that's just me. But, yeah, so make plans to attend the Maroon and White game. It's going to be a brand-new look for the team. You're going to need a program for sure, so you probably download a roster. It's because of the fact over 50% of the roster is going to be new players. And remember how excited we were last year, and we went up and put some points on the board, and some of that's because we were making some strides offensively. Also, too, we had some deficiencies on defense. But your first look at the 2025 Bulldogs will be April 19th. Go ahead and put that on your calendar. Begin to kind of make plans to attend. Some of you will have to book a room. And, again, it's just going to be a little different. And it may be better. You know. And you know what? If we try it and it doesn't work out the way we intend, we can always change it back next year. I think that's one of the things we've got to be flexible. And I think that's one of the things in the last few years that we have learned – about college athletics is that all of us have to kind of understand that what used to work may not work anymore, and we've got to be open and be willing to make some change for sure. And I want to remind you guys too, I do this occasionally on the show, but if you are considering hurting yourself or considering hurting someone else, dial 988. It's a free call, and if you can't call, texting is available too. Help is available. You're not alone. I know sometimes the world tries to make you feel that way, and we live in uncertain times. But I can tell you on behalf of everybody that really loves you, we want you on this side of the green grass. It's true. I would rather you call me and wake me up at 3 in the morning and let me talk you through it or come get you than have to go attend your funeral. I mean, I'm just going to kind of lay it for what it is. I have been in so many funeral homes in the last few months, and next week I'll be in another one. And I get emotional thinking about that stuff. And part of that too is seeing the people that I love that are left behind that have to continue to make sense of those things. And it doesn't always make sense. And so we're always going to be an advocate for those who suffer on this show and in my life, because I have been in those positions. And at some point we all have felt really down in the dumps. And after my friend Chris passed away recently, I reached out to some other of his very close friends, and a couple said, "Man, I thought about it myself." And I'm like, "I can't have you do that. I love you too much. I can't have you do that. Whatever you're dealing with is temporary in life. There's no point getting a permanent solution over a temporary problem. Things change." We go back to that song 365. What could happen in a year? Now, you may meet the love of your life. You may win the lottery. You may get a promotion. You never know what's going to happen. And as Matthew McConaughey says, you just got to keep on living. L-I-V-I-N-G. I think we spelled that right. You got to keep living, because you never know what's going to happen. And the reality of that is, too, you can never underestimate the absence in the lives of others that your departure would create. And that is something that they will live with the rest of their life. So I encourage you, 988 on your phone. If you hadn't done so, go to dirtynoblebook.com, and you can order all my sports titles there. You get signed copies of the books there, but you also, too, can get When the Bottom Falls. And if you're a person that just likes a good underdog story, it's my memoir. You can read that. If you're in recovery or new to recovery, or you are a person that loves somebody that's in recovery or in chemical addiction, and you may give you a little better understanding of kind of what it takes to get sober and to stay clean and sober, it may be a book that would make a difference. You never know. And come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. And I've loved the fact that so many of you got to meet her, too. You kind of realize why I married her in the first place. She's not just good looking, right? She's great and treats people with dignity and respect. And really has a heart for people, which is why she went into nursing in the first place. And coming up on our one-year anniversary of True Rest Float Spa. How about that? Time flies when you're having fun and working every day, right? And again, come join us over at jeanspage.com. You'll be glad you did. And we'll be back with you on Friday. Hopefully, we're celebrating a Mississippi State win over Alabama. I got to get cleaned up and get out of here. And hopefully, you'll be listening to this show on your way to Starkville. To come celebrate with us. And those black towels, of course, those are yours to keep, so make sure you bring those home. I've got a collection of that stuff just kind of laying around here, and one day my grandkids will go through it and say, "Isn't this neat?" Hopefully. But those things mean a lot to me, and let's be sure that we use them. We need everybody on their feet that can be. If you can stand, we need you to stand at big moments and cheer on the team. You are a part of this experience. And I think we all deserve to be rewarded, really pulling for Mississippi State in tonight's game against Alabama. I know many of you are as well. Many of you will be cheering from afar. And we appreciate you tuning in and love it when you have a chance to come be here in person. But there's some good things that are happening at Mississippi State. And I think this men's basketball team, again, is going to give us some pretty memorable moments here down the stretch. So hang in here with us. And again, maybe tonight is one that we can really get excited about. Really, really, really need to get this dub, as you guys are well aware. And we get back with you on Friday, of course. We'll Haven't seen his schedule yet, but we do expect to have baseball scrimmages again Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's typically the format that we follow. Did have a scrimmage on Monday, just five innings, just because of the fact we had the rain out on Sunday. And Mekhi Grant, some Cato Leary, some other guys pitched. So kind of getting through all that right now, kind of getting a sense of this team. But, you know, we still got a couple weeks, kind of figure some things out. This time last year, we thought Colby Holcomb could be a weekend starter. And you saw how that worked out. I mean, just – and my hope is he'll find himself in the minors and glad that he got drafted. And I wish all of our Diamond Dogs the greatest of successes, whether they're in baseball or out. You know, we appreciate their contributions, not just them, but every player in every sport of every gender that wears the maroon and white and represents our great university. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.